You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
To the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Anthony Correnti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. And fellas, this is coming out on a Wednesday. We're a day away from actual NFL football. How are we feeling?
Hey, like you said, we're a day away. This is freaking awesome. I'm so excited.
Now would be a terrible time for a meteorite to hit the earth. Just horrible timing if it was now. Horrible
would,
timing.
Would not be great.
Not good. Not
well, good. On today's show...
Whoever it takes, this football 365 or 5.
True. Well, on today's show, we're going to be discussing a couple Dynasty storylines that we're going to monitor throughout the whole season. So we've got 6 storylines in total that we're going to get into a little bit further. Before we do that, just a quick reminder. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed totally ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a 5-star rating and check out our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. So, like I said, we each have 2 different storylines that we're going to get into, and we're going to check in on them the last episode of every month through the end of the season to see how things are progressing, if we've gotten answers to some of these questions, and so on and so forth. So I forget who's kicking us off. What are we doing here?
You are.
I get to give you my first one. All right. Well, the first storyline that I want to keep tabs on throughout the year is kind of the state of the union, I guess, with the Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver group. It's an interesting group to me. There's opportunity there. There's 82 vacated targets from Nelson Aguilar. That's what he had a year ago. John Brown was released after he asked for his release and was granted such. They invested a high draft pick in Henry Ruggs. Brian Edwards was a pretty good college prospect who's been getting rave reviews all through camp. Personally, for me, I like Edwards to emerge as the true kind of number one there and more reliable fantasy asset out of the two of them. In the month of August, Brian Edwards was getting drafted in Superflex startups like the wide receiver 57, which I think if you're buying this offseason or you were buying this offseason, it's in the range of outcomes for it to pay off pretty spectacularly based on his skill set and kind of the physical specimen that he is. It's not like a lock by any means, but I think they will pass the ball enough that one of them can be relevant on a pretty weekly basis. And it'll be interesting to me to see which one it ends up being. So I'd love to hear if you guys have any thoughts about that before we get into Ryan's first storyline that we're going to keep tabs on.
Yeah. And this one like very much jumps into mind too, but I think as we're sitting now this season, it's Brian Edwards. I think he fits their offense. He's more that short to intermediate where we're working with a makeshift offensive line, which could be absolute garbage. Which means we don't have time. Derek Carr doesn't have time to throw up deep shots to Henry Ruggs. So unless they're using him on slants, bubble screens, they're really force feeding him the ball. I think the offense goes towards Edwards. If we're looking at the long-term future, we know they want a new quarterback in there. If they get one of these young guys who can sling the rock a little bit, that changes everything. It could be a buy for Ruggs this year if he struggles as like a toss in the trade offer, but right now I'm leading Edwards, but I mean, the offense really kind of runs through Waller, for to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely Wall at the top, but I feel like Ruggs is so forgotten. Like everyone's on Edwards. I don't think I've met a single person. If you ask them, like, do you like Edwards more or Ruggs? I feel like every single person has said Edwards. I feel bad for Henry Ruggs. I feel bad for Henry Ruggs at this point.
Yeah.
he's still extremely talented, but like Ryan said, the O-line with the questions, that's never a good recipe for deep threats. So, it's going to be good to check in with this wide receiver group throughout the season. Edwards, Ruggs, who will it be? It'll be Hunter Renfrow. So, all right, Ryan, here you go.
Also, the answer to this can't be it was Darren Waller. Darren Waller, but like, all right, who's the other guy?
Somebody else has to emerge, yeah.
I mean, once you get a Ruggs breakout, it can happen, though. But like, we have to look at these other quote receivers who have similar skill sets. Is not like Tyreek Hill is a smaller receiver with game build off speed. Obviously, they're not the exact same, but he has that kind of speed. Tyler Lockett, that kind of speed. What do they have that he doesn't? Quarterbacks who can sling the deep ball. He has Derek Carr. Like, I'm holding off until that QB situation's filled up before I have my full belief in Ruggs. But transition here. My first storyline is those second-year wide receivers, which are both of these guys, who surprisingly are some of the most boring guys in last year's receiving class. I mean, we have Justin Jefferson come off a historic season. CeeDee Lamb, who is getting drafted, what, third, fourth round now. Higgins, Claypool, Jerry Jeudy, Ayuk, Chenault, Pittman. I mean, dude, last year's class was so good.
It was bananas.
I mean, we literally could have five guys in the top 16 receivers just from last year's class. Like, what are we sorting this out at? Where's your guys' like breaking points? Like, it's Jefferson, Lamb. Can anybody get in the tier with those guys in your eyes? I kind of want to start there.
I don't, it depends how much you believe in Mr. Bridgewater over there, because Judy's ready.
Judy's the guy, man. I know we all agree on this.
But it's
Jerry Jeudy for me.
Yeah, I like Teddy for Jeudy more than Locke. I think everyone's in agreement on that. Teddy Bridgewater's not going to get, you know, it's not going to be burning my loins over here. I'm not excited about that. But I really do think Jeudy, you know, he doesn't have Dak. He doesn't even have a Kirk. That's the sad part with Jerry Jeudy. So,
yeah.
Him.
I'd like to see Claypool can make a difference too with the Steelers offense. Like, if he can separate himself from those other two receivers. I know everyone loves Deontay Johnson and Juju, but pure talent perspective, Claypool's as much as anybody.
Yep.
And I watched him all year too. He could easily make that jump to a top 12 receiver if they can find him the targets.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Like, if it works out, and I think it's like absolutely in the range of outcomes for him to come out early and like end up being the guy who's targeted, like more so than a lot of people projected throughout the offseason. But it's just tough to pinpoint right now with the other two that are there, but all the physical talent in the world. And like, it could be something where next year we're talking about him being that guy that we're valuing in the top 15, 16, something like that.
He had 109 targets last year, like just getting used to that offense. We're all so into what we saw Deontay and Juju get. Well, he was just like, he was just getting involved. He's new.
Whole lot of touchdowns too.
Yeah. So out of those second year wide receivers, leaving like some of the top guys that we talked about out, would you rather have Chase Claypool or Brandon Ayuk?
Claypool,
but it's very close for me. It's very close.
Okay. I also think Claypool, but it's pretty close, but I would go Claypool.
Ayuk or Chenault?
Ayuk.
Ayuk. Yeah. I trust San Fran more.
Yeah.
I love Chenault, but like it's a little hard for me to, I don't mean this as a slight against Chenault, but it's a little hard for me to buy into them realizing the full version of LaVisca Chenault. Like, I hope they do, because he's a very, very fun player to watch. But I just have I have a lot of concerns, and we talked about it recently, just about that offense.
It's called Urban Meyer.
Yeah. I have a lot of concerns about Urban Meyer.
Also, Pittman. Got to announce Pittman. Pittman might have the best opportunity out of all of them, to be honest. Yeah.
The T.Y. injury.
There's no one holding him back. So,
bro, come on. Paris Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Look, man, I'm a Paris Campbell fan just as much as everyone, but I've yet to see it.
I know. This is the year. This is the year.
I hope
this is the year. I'm knocking on wood over here.
I still have a little faith in Jalen Reagor, too. Like, he was hurt last year.
Oh, I'm not giving up on Reagor.
I know Devonta Smith's awesome and the new toy, but this team's going to be throwing the football a lot more than we expect. And some people have to catch it. And Reagor has a skill set where he can be a heavily targeted guy.
I think the big takeaway in talking like second-year wide receivers, at least to me, is that for a fantasy format that should take a longer-term approach, most people are generally way too quick to move on from young wide receivers now.
Yep.
Just because we've gotten so spoiled in the past like couple years specifically with these guys. Like from... Yeah. Odell Beckham on, like when we had just crazy, crazy output from rookies. But like, there's a lot of names that we just brought up, and a lot of them could turn into like legitimate stars at the position.
Yep. Like, look at Jerry Jeudy's stat line. He had 113 targets, 856 yards, and that should be a really good rookie season.
Yeah, and people except killed him.
Comes in and has 1,400 yards. Like, we're so quick to write somebody off like Jeudy for sucking now. Which is not true because he only had 850 yards. I just don't understand where this is. Patience is key.
True, true. All right, Eric, what's your first storyline that we're going to check in on?
Mine's going to be the Pats running backs just because I know the rep that they get and everyone hates to try to decipher it. Look, I've been saying this for a long time now. When a position group is very effective – and you're just like, no, I don't want any piece of that because I don't know who is it going to be. That's not a good way to look at things. Like, you should be taking dart throws at these guys. None of them are getting taken high in drafts. I'm pretty sure Damian Harris is probably getting taken the highest. He's probably not even going to like the sixth or seventh round at the earliest. So, I mean, they're going to run the football so much this season. Ramondre Stevenson looked really good in the preseason. Damian Harris, we all know how much of a fan I'm of Damian Harris. James White is like the most solid PPR back you can get after round 10 that nobody wants to seem to throw a dart at. And with Mac Jones there, he's going to be viable. And I love J.J. Taylor. I know everyone's on Ram Stevenson right now. J.J. Taylor is going to be a name that people will be talking about when we revisit this in 3 weeks. I guarantee that. It's just a group that's going to be fantasy relevant, whether people want to believe it or not. And I'm very much willing to be up to date with it.
Is there going to be a guy with them, though, you're going to be comfortable starting week in, week out? Or is it you're going to be playing off of what the matchup's going to be? Like, if we're looking for a game to shoot up, we're going straight James White. Or are we comfortable starting Damian Harris week in, week out?
If I have Damian Harris, I'm starting him.
Because if he's your running back 3 or 4, you can kind of play that game a little. And a lot of rosters he is at for people.
Yeah, I think that – so I love Damian Harris as well, to be clear before – like I – so I don't want to sound like I'm just kind of – I don't know. I've loved him even before this. I'm trying to find the right word for – so I'm not kind of jumping on late, but I'm comfortable in almost any format starting Damian Harris as my running back too. Like, if I have him as my running back 3 or 4, I feel really, really good because I think he's going to carry the ball a ton. I think, like, moving on from Cam and going with Mac Jones is, like, arrow up for every Pats running back. And I know people, like Eric said, are quick to kind of jump off and, oh, you know, Belichick won't commit to one guy. Damian Harris is going to run the ball a ton. I think Ramondre Stevenson is somebody that I love that he will end up getting some work this year because I loved him pre-draft, and I think he could be a legitimate goal line guy, but now I don't have to worry about both Ramondre Stevenson and Cam Newton taking goal line work from Damian Harris, so touchdown numbers should go up for Harris, and James White should be the pass catching back that we've seen him be like forever now that it's going, I don't want to say not a normal offense without Cam, but a more kind of prototypical offense where we know Mac Jones will be able to pass the running back.
It's where not, we know they can actually throw the ball now.
Right. Yeah.
It's all right. Sorry.
Harris' ADP is 505 now.
Harris?
Yeah.
That definitely got a bump after
it definitely game. Went up. Yeah.
It's RB20. He's creeping up.
Oh, dude.
Creeping.
I think Cam had like 20 something goal line carries last year, or like 20 carries inside the red zone. Those are all going to Damian Harris.
Yeah.
Like I get that this storyline is about all of the Rat Pats running backs. The underlying story behind this will be, when does Ram Stevenson get more involved? But like, this is Damian Harris's backfield. He's the guy with this little sprinkle in of JJ Taylor to be the off pace back. So
the crazy thing to me about Damian Harris is he gets this like rap as a guy who can't catch passes, even though he can. Like, he just hasn't been asked to do it a lot for the Pats, and James White's there. So I know that he won't be like the primary pass catching running back, but I mean, he's a guy with a pretty complete skill set for when you look at the whole package. So yeah. I love Damian Harris, and I'm glad that it seems like we'll finally get, a season of him as the guy to kind of show what he can do.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll keep it with running backs. I'll give you my second storyline here. It's a less inspiring group of running backs. It's the Arizona Cardinals running backs. And I really want to keep tabs on it because, not to sound like a bummer, but frankly, I don't think any of them are good enough to prevent this team from investing pretty heavily in the running back position next year, whether that's in free agency or with a fairly early draft pick. They're a team that they want to run the ball, and we know Kyler will run the ball, but they gave almost 250 attempts to Kenyon Drake last year. He leaves in free agency. They signed James Conner, who is going to be more involved than anybody like specifically on Twitter wants to admit. Like, if you bring up James Conner, they're just like, no, he's not going to do anything. Chase Edmonds all the way. Chase Edmonds had 97 carries last year, and that's the most he's had in his 3-year career. The problem for me is I can't all of a sudden think that they're going to make Chase Edmonds an every down running back, because if they were going to, I think they would have done it by now. I think he's a change of pace complimentary guy, and he's fine, but I think he's been overdrafted pretty much all offseason in redraft and in dynasty. And I think, he'll have fantasy relevant games like we've seen him have in his career, where he, rips off 3 touchdowns in a game or something like that, and everybody falls back in love. But this team repeatedly ran Kenyon Drake up the middle at the goal line to try and score touchdowns, and it was gross and not super efficient. But I can see them doing the same thing with James Conner and having it be gross and inefficient. And by the end of the season, realizing we're going to either spend an early round draft pick at the running back position because Kyler will have set the world on fire like I expect him to, and they think they're ready to contend for a championship, or they'll get involved in the free agent market and kind of leave both of these guys as spare parts. So that's where I'm at. If you guys have anything you'd like to add, and we'll move on to Ryan's second storyline.
No, I kind of agree. Like, I kind of was like Chase Edmonds for a little bit. Then the closer we've gotten to the season, the more I've soured on him. I think it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, people, it's kind of similar to what people think Baltimore is sometimes, where they're like, oh, the quarterback's going to take away the carries and detriment to the running backs, which isn't the case there. For Arizona, it is the case. Like, Kyler's their lead back. Kyler's everything to them. And they have two guys who are together maybe a full running back. I just...
It's funny, but it's true.
Like, if we combine them into one person, they'd be in good shape.
But yeah, I would draft that player.
I would love no that problem. Player. Connor's power north-south, a little bit of wiggle from Edmonds, but... Like, Connor's beat up. He's a plotter now. He can catch passes a little bit better than give him credit for, which is good for that offense. It's going to be a nightmare. And I don't think game script is going to affect it and be as predictable as we thought at the beginning. Like, that's what I was originally counting on, but I don't think that's going to be the case with this offense.
You know, they had a chance to take Najee Harris, and they took Zaven Collins. I like Zaven Collins. Don't get me wrong. That's a fine pick. They should have taken Najee Harris.
They should have taken Najee. Would have been fun there.
Like, what the hell are we doing, Arizona? That's Najee Harris should be in that backfield. That's ridiculous. But I'm with you. I'm glad you picked this one, because I'm interested to see how this shakes out. I think Connor's done, but I mean, if he's like even half what he was when he was good in Pittsburgh, that's probably better than Chase Edmonds. So who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be taking a running back high next year. Interested to see how it shakes out, though. Definitely interested. Eno Benjamin, F the world.
Oh, gross.
I've got some Eno shares.
He's also not good.
Go to the casino, bet on Eno.
if you're a gambling addict listening to our podcast, do not listen to that advice. Just pour bleach in your hair.
All right, Ryan, what's your second storyline here?
The Eagles offense. It is such an interesting offense because everything's a question mark. We got a taste of Jalen Hurts last year in four games, and it was incredibly inefficient from a passing standpoint, which obviously we can see improve. We saw Josh Allen make 11% more passes from 19 to 20. Obviously, experience helps. Also, throwing, having your top receivers being Greg Ward and Travis Fulgham with 79, 67 targets doesn't help you as a quarterback. So I think what Jalen Hurts is the biggest wild card of the season in fantasy. He could finish as a top five quarterback if he rushes for 1,000 yards, because that's in the realm of possibility with this offense. Or he can completely shit the bed and lose his starting job in Minshew Mania. I'm leaning towards him playing well there, but it's a huge question mark. And so is receiving core now, because like we mentioned earlier, Jalen Reagor's there, and he's probably going to be their wide receiver too and barely started. We're expecting Devonta Smith, who's been already beat up this year, to have such a big impact. I mean, Ertz is still there. Goddard, there's a lot of question marks. And Miles Sanders isn't the safest running back. Like, this is an offense that can make or break you if you hit on fantasy this year. Like, you literally, if you hit on Hurts or you hit on one of these receivers and they go off at their price, it could be huge. Like, I want to see if we're holding on to these guys or what to make of it. Because something has to give in this offense, or the whole thing just crumbles and there's nothing for next year. They're a last place team. Like, that's the only options for it.
He can't complete 52% of his passes.
No.
He does that again.
He has to be close to 60. If he's low 60s, he'll be fine.
Oh, he needs to be over 60. If he's not over 60, It's not it. But the reports are positive. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. Just their moves aren't. Like, that means you – I know you need a quality backup in the NFL if you believe you're a contender, which I don't know how they could. But, like, I know you need that. But Minshew's a little bit more than just a backup. Has a little more bravado than that. Like, it's hard. Because if we see Jalen Hurts struggle, you're going to hear those chirping. Because there's certain people who love Gardner Minshew. Eric is one of them. But, you know, that Philly fan base can get real nasty real quick.
If he plays the way that he played last year in those four games, Gardner Minshew is starting by week five, week six. I think he'll be better than that, though. He has to be better than that.
So that's kind of where – I'm glad you said that, Eric, because that's kind of where I was going to take it was there's a – if he's not, like, significantly better, like, there's this world that exists where he could be a really – really good fantasy option and lose his job next year, right? Like, because he could be good enough fantasy wise just based on output with his legs, but doesn't have like the growth of as a passer or any of that to kind of prevent a team that's in flux at the position with a surplus of draft capital from making a move to go get their guy. But yeah, like you said, it's reports have been positive. The Minshew move is weird. It almost feels like, let's run it back. You know, nothing bad happened when we drafted Jalen Hurts and, you know, things weren't going good for Wentz and that whole situation. But I think Minshew is better than just, you know, like a throw in backup. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I'm really most interested in for Philly. I really like from a redraft perspective, warmed up on Zach Ertz. Like now that he's there, I think Zach Ertz is going to be involved this year and people are going to hate it, but it's going to happen. And, I can't wait to see how long until Kenny Gainwell's the most used running back in that backfield because he's got the juice.
You know who's there and it's really gross and is going to take carries is Boston Scott.
Yep. Oh, they're like, all going to get mixed in.
Everybody's just on the radar. Miles Sanders is a star if he is healthy, but we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And also, with Hurts, his senior year of college, he completed 69% of his passes. Like
that was, I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm gonna pull a
Lincoln Matt Riley Mirage.
What is it? The Big 12 or whatever conference they're in? Yeah, yeah. It's just chalk it up to that. Everyone's wide open. They don't know how to play corner in that conference. That's what Matt would say. Matt would be proud of what I just said.
He would, and he will be.
We knock 5 to 6% off.
No, I'm gonna knock like 10% off. He's 59%.
59% as a college passer.
But yeah, no, I get it. I'm glad you chose this one. Everyone wants to bring up the whole who's the Justin Jefferson of this year. First of all, that's mean. Nobody's doing that this year. I'd be surprised. But if I had to bet on someone, I think I'm gonna bet on Devontae Smith as long as Jalen Hurts doesn't crap the bed completely.
Yeah, agreed. I
keep saying it. I think he's uncoverable.
All right. Eric, round us out with your last storyline.
We're wrapping it up. Again, I'm going to bring up the fact that people are like, oh, no, it's too icky. I don't know how to navigate it. I don't want to take it. Everyone's too expensive. I'm going to go with the Bucs offense here. We all know my projections. I think they're going to have a record-breaking year starting Thursday when they just absolutely crushed Dallas. I don't know what it is with you guys. Ryan, you especially, you have like a sore spot for Mike Evans. You don't like Mike Evans.
I love Mike Evans.
You're pretty negative.
I've always loved Mike Evans.
I don't know. I don't think so. You should, buddy boy.
I don't think Tom Brady loves Mike Evans the way I love Mike Evans.
Oh my God, dude.
I prefer Jameis Winston Mike Evans. Because Jameis Winston's forced him 150 targets and didn't give a shit.
Like 78 of them are coming incomplete.
Huh?
78 of those 150 are coming incomplete.
Yeah, I do love Mike Evans this year. I love Mike Evans for a while, but Mike Evans is my wide receiver 5 this year.
I think Evans is going to – Mike Evans, you could literally just pencil him in for 10 touchdowns this year. He's the easiest.
I agree with that. I haven't done many touchdowns, I think.
And then Godwin, contract year, he's going to have to ball out because I don't know if they'll be able to pay him in Tampa Bay, but somebody will pay him, so he has to ball out this year. I still think Antonio Brown's a good player. Full offseason here, that's going to be interesting. I think Scott Miller and Tyler Johnson are good players. They have a really good O-line. They have really good tight ends. The running backs are kind of gross, but somebody's going to appear out of nowhere with that. This is just an offense that I think has a really, really historic season. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. Although, I will say this. I said Godwin has to have a really good year and a contract year. He's already on the injury report with a quad injury. Not sure if he's playing on Thursday. That's something that bothers me.
Did you hear what Arian said about Antonio Brown this week, where he looks like Pittsburgh Steelers from 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, I just saw that before.
Ryan, I'm going to tell you right now, man. He has not – every time he's on the field, crazy or not, he has looked like Antonio Brown.
And Brady loves him.
Yeah.
Brady does not love Mike Evans.
A buddy of mine,
I have Mike Evans leading team of touchdowns, and I have 972 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's a fine season.
I'm looking up right now what he did last year. You're crazy.
That's fine.
A buddy of mine texted me before we got on and started recording this show. 19.
All he had was 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns. Yeah, Tom Brady hates him. Oh, God.
The pup's upset. He's upset with the Evans. The pup is upset with the Evans.
No, Tom Brady likes Mike Evans.
A buddy of mine texted me before we started recording this and said, Antonio Brown's going to be a top 15 wide receiver this season and the most productive Tampa wideout. I said, it sounds crazy, but it's legitimately in the range of outcomes. Like, this could go like any variety of ways. I'm excited to see what this offense does. I have both Evans and Godwin finishing as top 12 options in my projections and Antonio Brown finishing as a wide receiver 3. So I think they're all going to be fantasy relevant.
I have them as 14, 18, and 35. They're not much different. I'm not that big of a hater.
35 for Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Where do you have him at?
I have him at 28.
I got him at 14. There's a disconnect here.
Woo!
He's still a stud.
I like it.
Maybe there's a lot of good receivers in the league right now. A lot of good receivers.
I don't think money is better as Antonio Brown still. We will find out, though. That's the whole point of this. That's the
This is going to be fun. We got six juicy ones to check in on. So we're going to update them on the last Wednesday of every month, right? So the next time we check in on these will be the September 29th show to end this month.
Yes, sir.
All right. Awesome. You guys have anything else to add before we cut on out of here and get all hyped up for the game that's about to be on tomorrow?
The next time we update these with the Bucs offense that week, going into that week, they're playing the Patriots. That's going to be an electric factor. That's going to be an interesting week for me. Oh, dear God. I'm not looking forward to that.
I am.
I know you.
I'm not looking forward to that.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We'll be back with more of the Dynasty Draft Room next week, but be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Blitz for all of your college fantasy football needs. And we will be back next week to talk about real life NFL football.
Later, taters.